We've got a couple of announcements to make this morning. Some people find it a bit difficult not having music. I actually don't find it difficult at all not having music, because this is what I do in my lounge room. This is what I do in my bedroom. I don't have to come here to learn how to sing. This is just a reflection of me in my home. Amen. You better be a worshiper in this hour like never before. You better connect to the heart of God like never before. If you don't connect to the heart of God, you'll not hear His voice. And you'll walk around with head knowledge. Head knowledge alone will not get you where you need to get. You and I must know the heartbeat of the Father more than ever before in this hour. Amen. So worship Him. Give thanks to Him. In season, out of season, up, down. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Talk to your feelings. Do like David says, "Oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me? For yet I shall praise the Lord." Speak to your soul. Hallelujah. I'm going to be carried away now. Glory to God. Announcements. Mission Sunday is today. If you need an envelope for your missions offering, please lift up your hand. You'll be given one. If they've already been given out, that's okay. Oh, the one at the back. They're at the back. You can grab one of them. You want to grab the one? Chrissy, would you grab them? Great to see my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson. Is my grandson up at creche? Probably already gone. Praise the Lord. Yes, Mission Sunday. We have a short video, is that right, Josh, with our Kate?
Good morning, church. Hope you are all doing well. It is Kate here in Thailand. Sorry if I've got a little bit of an accent. I've been hanging out with some crew from Oregon. We just had a team over. We have had such an amazing Christmas season, being able to get a bunch of gifts together and partner with some local churches and churches in Australia. We were able to give 2,400 kids Christmas gifts this year with a gospel message in a coloring in book. And I had so many volunteers. I was so happy to be able to put them together. This is a new school that we've actually just been asked to go into. They are doing a Friday program that we're able to teach Bible every week. And this is my community that I go into every Wednesday, and I was able to share the gospel, and all the parents came, which was awesome. It was really, really great. And just so cool to see our kids growing and knowing God. The team here at MEC has just been growing in their evangelism. So we had more than 14 outreaches over Christmas, which was super exciting, just to get the gospel out there, from farm communities to the communities on the dump to communities in the factory workers all around. It was just so great to be able to share that message of hope with so many people. I was actually able to help with a fellow missionary. We were able to get a bunch of gifts together that were going to IDPs and to children on the other side, which was really exciting that the right doors would open, and we were able to get gifts to some of the children that have been stuck in houses really for 12 months and not able to go out. And God just made ways for us to get into places that only He could open the door. And just so great to see the kids and everyone come along with our outreaches. This is one of my new communities, so I'm actually teaching 2 days a week, not three this year, and I'm going to be going in on a Friday to a high school, as well as into this community on a weekly basis. And it's so cool. This was the community. They were like, how do we not know about this? How do we not know about this Christ? And so we had 11 people this week ask for Bibles and wanting to do studies. And it was just so amazing that God opened up those opportunities. This is another school that we're actually starting to go into. So the previous one was a migrant school. This is a Thai school. And this is connected to the Grace Boarding House, many of the children that go there. And so it's really, really cool that they're like, we want to partner with you. We love what you're doing with the kids. We had a great barbecue with all of our staff and team and volunteers at MEC. Big pig on the spit, and everyone came together because it's been such a huge season. Christmas goes from the 1st of December right through to the 30th of December. These are some of the amazing staff at Grace Boarding House who really just pulled out all the stops to make sure the kids had the great, great Christmas. I have Bella actually here. Pastor Jonathan's granddaughter is doing an internship with me for a month. And we just had some students from Corbin University in Oregon come and serve the community here. It was so great. We had sports days, we hired out a soccer field. We had a wedding to celebrate this amazing couple. They got married, actually have a crazy story how they got back into the church from across the other side to safety. So it was so cool to see them grow over the last 12 months and celebrate as a family all together their wedding. Last night, the team prepared a meal, which was really cool, a Burmese meal, and cooked it all up for our home cell group. And that night, we had about 60 people, at least in that house, which was really cool. So this used to be the MEC building, but now a family is living there. But it was really cool to have a meal all together and just share how good God is, what God's been doing, in the communities that we've been going into. This guy was sharing the gospel, and we had people who had never heard it before put their hand up and say, we want to be a part of that. So thank you so much for all that you sow into the ministry and me being able to be here. You're such a blessing. God bless.
So that's our Kate doing her thing. Doing her thing with her American accent this time. Bless her heart. She's a good girl. And all what's happening there, you're part of as you give. Lives are being touched, lives are being set free, families are being restored, Jesus is being magnified. You can't ask for more than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just ask you to bless the word this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask you to let that word just permeate into our spirit, man. Father, that we would bring fruit with righteousness toward you, glorify your name, that our lives would be transformed and changed by the power of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Wash Your Hands. Wash your hands. We tell our kids to wash their hands. Governments have been telling us to wash our hands. Wash your hands. Pandemic, wash your hands. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Jesus tells us, the Father tells us to come before him with clean hands. Amen. In fact, you should be wearing a mask every day. Not the literal mask. But you should wear that mask that filters what's going into you and especially filters what's coming out of you. Amen. Nothing new under the sun. God's been telling us to do that from the day of Adam. Filter what's coming in and filter what's going out. Amen. And wash your hands. Turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel 6, 1 and 9. 2 Samuel 6, 1 and 9. This is David. Bit of background in 1 Samuel. The ark had been stolen. Not stolen, the ark had been captured. The Philistines went to war against Israel, and Israel had lost approximately 4,000 men that day. So some of the priests and some of the men leaders said, bring the ark in the midst of us, and surely God will bring us victory. Eli's two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they brought the ark. There was such a shout in the camp that the Philistines feared that surely God is in their midst. Yet the Philistines prevailed, defeated Israel, and took the ark. Footnote and hint. You could have all the outward expression of the presence of God. And the problem with Israel at that time was it was in idolatry. You can have all the outside appearance, and you can expect God to perform that you think he should perform. But because you expect him to perform and you're not in the right place with him, don't expect it. When you make him the object of what you tell him to do, he won't do it. The ark is just a representation of the presence. It is not the presence of God himself. It's just an outward representation of the presence of God. It's a symbol. And sometimes we have an outward expression of the presence of God in our lives, but our hearts are far from him. And then we come in raising our hands. James chapter 4 says you better have your hands clean. You come before him with holy hands, raising up your holy hands. Clean, because sometimes if we don't and we just have this pious expectation, have this outward expression of our Christianese lifestyle, but our heart is far from him, not necessarily will he answer your request. Are we still breathing? We're going to go a little bit deeper this morning. Can we, is that all right? I think sometimes we have this attitude that as Christians you can do anything. Well, you can't. You can't. Well, God will cover me with his grace. Well, he won't all the time. He'll have an expectation for you to answer to the consequences of your sin. That's life. Most of the time you are not fighting a devil. You're fighting your own sin. You're fighting the issues that you birthed. Amen. Because sometimes in life we birth an Ishmael. What we think should happen, but not necessarily what God expected to happen. Amen? David arose and went with all the people that were with him to Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God. David wanted the Ark back. In fact, what happened was this. The Philistines, when they put him in the temple of Dagon, Dagon fell down, his hands were chopped off, and he was beheaded. He was burned up. They got scared, so they pushed him to another city. That city got boils and tumors all over them, and they said, let's get out of here, get him out of here, we don't want him here. They put him to another city in a cart, and they said, we don't want him, send him down the road, and wherever he goes, but get him out of here, because no matter where he was, if he wasn't worshipped, watch out. And he would not allow another God to stand before him. Hallelujah. So David heard that he was in this house, this man's house, and he went to get him. Baal Judah had bring up from there the ark of the Lord, whose name is called by name the Lord of Hosts. What's he called? The Lord of? He's called the Lord of Hosts, who dwell between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on what? On a new cart, a man-made thing, how men perceive God should travel, how men perceive what God should be like. They put him on a new cart. David wasn't going to give a second-hand cart. He's going to, we'll do a new thing. We'll put him on a new cart. So they go on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahihu, they were brothers, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They had prestige. They were in a place where, guess what? I'm going to drive the cart. I've got the ark behind me. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill accompanying the ark, and Ahu went before the ark. And then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord and all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, of harps, of stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, I don't know what they are, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark and took it hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. Uzzah touched something he shouldn't have touched. Uzzah reached out to something he wasn't designed to reach out to. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error, and he died before the ark. He's driving a cart. Giddy up, cow. Driving a cart. The cart stumbles. The ark's going to fall out. Uzzah reaches out and touches the ark. He's dead. David gets an attitude. He was angry that his friend Uzzah had died. But Uzzah wasn't even a priest. He was driving this ark and he wasn't even a priest. He reached out for something that he shouldn't have reached out for. Here's a footnote and hint, people. If you get familiar with God and you keep touching what you shouldn't touch, something inside of you will eventually die. You can get so familiar thinking you can do what you expect to do or what you think is right to do, and you touch what you shouldn't touch, something inside of you can die. Some life inside of you can die. Familiarity kills relationship. I want to say that again. Familiarity kills your love relationship with God. And instead of him being a holy God, he's just God. Instead of him being the righteous, true God, he's just God. Well, I'm going to say this. We need to clarify something with a clarion call this morning. He is holy, righteous, and true, and to be feared before the Lord. Uzzah touched something he shouldn't have touched, and God struck him dead. The anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died before the ark. David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord. David was afraid of the Lord, and he said, how can the ark? This is the question, people. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves. How can the ark of the Lord come to me? I'm talking about his presence. When I'm touching what I shouldn't touch, when I'm doing what I shouldn't do, it can hinder God's presence on your life. When I become too familiar with him, it hardens my ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Can I have an amen? What happens is, they were playing their timbrels, or they're playing their pipes, or they were playing all their stuff, thinking that they were worshiping God, thinking that God would be well pleased with them, and they were carrying him in a cart. And I'm in a very sad situation today where the church, the body of Christ as a whole, we're making worship like a rock concert, thinking that all this performance is pleasing God. We've built a cart. We've built our own cart, thinking that we can take God into this presence that we've developed for him, thinking that he's going to be well pleased with it. Hear me, he's not. He wants people come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. That's it. And make a joyful noise. Whatever that sounds like to you, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And too often, we build carts for God, even in our own personal lives and our own families. We build carts for God. We expect God to do. God, I'm doing this, so you should. God, I'm fighting my Philistines. Here you are. Do it. While I still do this. He won't do it. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I'm sorry if you think that your God will answer everything you want him to do and do everything you want him to do. He won't. Sometimes he'll leave the babe in the middle of their blood and their birthing situation for you to struggle out of it. He'll cause sometimes struggles in your life so you cry out to God. So he's your source. That you're not making him an instrument of your own source. He becomes your source. Amen. How can the ark come to me? Which speaks of his presence. Which speaks of the blood-stained mercy seat. That life-giving God that paid a price for me. That I don't forget the cost it cost my Father in heaven to give his Son for me and my sin. That I don't forget his goodness toward me daily. Even though in the midst of my struggle, even though in the midst of my life, going through life, what we call life, in the midst of all that, he will still be glorified and loved and honored and blessed and praised upon, no matter what my situation. He wants me to remember that. David used the same methodology the Philistines used. They took it away on a cart. David did the same thing because he lacked the instruction of the things of God. And so often when we're left to our own devices, we build our own carts thinking this is how we should manipulate God to relieve my situation. Jeremiah 25:7 says this, "You have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." To whose own hurt? My own hurt. This modern day gospel that is being preached, where people don't think they have to repent because grace covers you, it was one of the greatest lies and deceptions that's entered the house of God. Repentance brings a time of refreshing in your soul. Repentance washes you. Repentance renews your mindset to the purposes and promises of God. It is not a choice for you to repent. It is a gift for you to use. We have to be aware in the day we're living in that there's going to be false gospels. Does it mean God's love has changed towards me? No. God's love never changes towards me. He wants to know the wickedness of my own heart. He wants to know how deceptive my heart can be. Proverbs says your heart is deceptively wicked above all things. My heart will lead me astray. If you lean on your heart and you lean on your own loves, it will lead you astray. I was led astray for 3 years. I backslid for 3 years. 3 horrible years. 3 years where some things were happening in my house that shouldn't have been happening. Marital problems. Family issues. Son sick. A daughter growing up so quickly that I thought she was a second wife. Telling me what to do all the time. Because when you're left up to your own devices, things happen. I must remember to wash my hands, cleanse my heart, and get before him. He's willing me to come. He's opened the door for me to come. He desires me to come. What he wants is me to be honest with myself, because he knows all things. Nothing shocks God. You can't shock him. Nothing shocks him. You might be surprised. I think, well, you know what surprises God more than anything? When we say things like this. Do you know God's going to do this? And he's up in heaven going, really? I did. Talking to Jesus. Really? When did you talk to him about that? I didn't. Oh. He gets shocked.
Uzzah touched what he shouldn't have touched. It cost him his life. Familiarity with God, lack of reverence of our holy God, lack of obedience towards our God and his ways kills my relationship. Hear me, it will kill my relationship. And all of a sudden, you won't have relationship. You'll develop a cart, and now you've got religion. How you perceive God should be. And what happens is, the sad part about it, once you lose relationship, you go into works. You're driven. You do this so God can do that. Amen? God doesn't want works. God wants your love. God wants you. Warts and all. We can put him in a box and carry his presence based on what I've built. Thinking how I should carry his presence. This ark. God was saying, don't carry me like the world does, David. Don't carry me like, don't do what the world's doing. Don't go that way. Don't get the world's system into me. I have an order. Say it with me. God has order. God's a God of order. Amen. He is. He's a God of order. He had designed a system of carrying the ark. He had designed a way of carrying the ark. The ark was supposed to, I think it's in 1 Chronicles 15. The ark is supposed to be carried on the shoulders of someone. Hallelujah. It was never designed to be carried upon a cart, a man-made thing. Never designed to be carried upon what you perceive. It was designed to be carried upon the shoulders of the priest. Glory to God. In other words, he can feel the weight and the presence of his God upon his shoulders. He can carry the anointing of God upon his shoulders. And his hands better be clean because it's got to steady the ark. Hello, royal priesthood. If you're born again here this morning, you are a priest unto God. He doesn't need your cart. In fact, he didn't care if the ark rolled off. God doesn't need your help. What God wants is your obedience. He wants your shoulders. He wants you to carry the weight of his presence and the weight of his glory and the weight of his power on your life. So the ark is carried with this mercy seat, revealing the glory of God and the mercy of God and the bloodstained seat of God to people around you. Carriers of the anointing. Carriers of the power and the presence of God. And it's to be birthed and placed and the weight of that on your shoulders. Hello, priest. But too often we've built a cart. Too often I've built a cart. And I think we've all done it. I think every one of us has done it. But what he's saying is, don't fit me in your cart. I'm bigger than that. Don't fit me in your little system. I'm bigger than that. Don't fit me in what you perceive I should be. I'm bigger than that. And he wants to reveal himself bigger to you. Amen. This ark, this presence of God was carried upon the shoulders of the priests. This royal priesthood has the privilege to feel, to carry, to experience the weight of his presence. Who wants to feel, carry, and experience the weight of his presence afresh? I think so many times we're not experiencing it because we've really built our own little cart. So God is saying to Uzzah, your hands mattered, Uzzah. Your hand did matter. You reached out, you touched. Your hand did matter. Your hand was the difference. Don't take unclean hands and expect to touch things without a consequence. I'm going to say that again. Don't take unclean hands and touch clean things or holy things without a consequence. What do you mean, Pastor Dave? Don't take this unclean hand of accusation, envy, murder, strife, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, whatever it is, and touch the holy things. Don't do it. There'll be a consequence. There will be a consequence. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this, I desire for their men pray everywhere, lifting up what sort of hands? What sort of hands? Holy hands. Come on now, our hands are supposed to be holy. Reaching out, touching, reaching out, delivering, reaching out, helping, reaching out, whatever we need to do to see people set free and delivered, doing what God requires us to do. Lifting up our holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We need to come to church ready to lift our holy. Don't come to church just saying, God, I'll get my hands clean at church. Do it at home. Prepare yourself to come to church. Every priest that came into the Holy of Holies had to come. No priest came to Moses' tabernacle without a sacrifice. You better bring something to God. Amen? Your worship, your love, your adoration, your shout, your hymn, your psalm. Bring something to God. Hands that have been washed from the residue of this world. The things I shouldn't touch, washed by the water of His Word. Washed by repentance. Washed by forgiveness. Washed by me consecrating myself to Him afresh. Washed from the stream that flows from His presence. Those who wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a washing, there's a regeneration happens when you wait on Him, when you forgive, when you show mercy. Amen. From this changes one's heart. And here's the real dilemma. You can have an outward appearance of washing one's hands, but your heart is far from Him. Hello, Pilate. Washed his hands from the things, saying, I'm innocent of his blood, but you still send him to a cross. I have to allow the heart to be transformed and changed as I wash my hands. I've got to not just be an outward works, but an inward work in my life. Amen? So often we have this, and please hear my heart, I'm not here to judge anyone. But you can be pious on the outside in public, but living like a devil in private. God expects me, and what I do in private, God will make public. Hallelujah. We've got to allow the Word to change our hearts. We've got to allow the presence to change our hearts. We've got to walk in forgiveness and mercy and grace to change our hearts. All of this is the washing of the water of the Word. It's an action. I can't afford to hold back. I can't afford to, and especially if you're in ministry, you can't afford to be doing ministry yet having a heart that is wicked and crooked before the Lord. You can't come before Him with dirty hands. I must wash my hands. I must constantly wash my hands. Amen? You know, we love these sayings, we love these little trappings. His mercies are new every morning. We love saying that to each other, don't we? The reason is His mercies are new every morning so I can be right with Him that day. It's not for me to feel good. He's given another opportunity for me to get right with Him and step into the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's not a one-time event. I don't have to repent once. I live a lifestyle of repentance. Sorry, Jesus, I spoke like that. Sorry about my attitude. You know my attitude just stunk, right? Sorry, God, please help me. Let me be on the road all by myself. I've said that. I've actually said that. God, get all these people out of my way. Let me be here all by myself. And therefore, if something happens, I've only got myself to blame. I've actually said that. And of course, what happens? A car comes. Car comes, attitude stinks, mouth goes rampant. My wife's praying and interceding for me in the back. Oh God, help this man. Help this man to be holy. Lord, when he steps out of the car, he's a different man. But when he's in that car, something takes over. Thank you, darling. She's full of grace and mercy. What we do in private determines how God uses me in public. I'm going to say that again. What you do in private determines how God will use me in public. You can't run away from the intimacy of the Lord. Clean hands, pure heart. Clean. Does it mean I have to be perfect? No. He's not saying that at all. To be honest, we would never make it. We'd all fail. We'd all be miserable. What he's saying is this: love me enough to trust me. Love me enough to trust me. Love me enough to change you. Love me enough. Love me enough that you can come to me and share what I already know. Be real. Be real. There was a man that I used to know called Clark Taylor, he started the movement Christian Outreach Center. He said this to me one day. He says, David, it's perfectly normal to be spiritual. I went, yeah. He said, it's perfectly spiritual to be normal. Christians should be the most normalized people on God's earth. Not this wacko, weirdo, fairy, hairy stuff out there. You know, these nebulouses happen. Not that. Perfectly normal to be spiritual. And it's very spiritual to be normal. And after I thought about that, I thought, gee, you know what? He's right, because there's not many normal people. Like myself. Not true. How's my hands? How's my heart? James 4 and 8 says this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse my hands. Wash my hands. How do I do that washing? Through the word, repentance, forgiveness, mercy, grace. Touch not what is holy with your unclean hands. Filter my mouth. Not just what's coming in. You know, when you wore the mask in the pandemic, it wasn't just to save you for what you were breathing. It was to help others not breathe what you're breathing out. How's my mask? Wash my hands. Get rid of your cart. Chuck it. Burn it. Allow the weight of his presence and his glory fall upon your shoulders. That's how you get the ark back. When David realized what he did, he ordained the Levites. He made them sanctify themselves for 7 days. 7 days of cleansing. Got the Levites, got the priests. Did it the right way. And God celebrated with them back in their presence. Brought it back into the house of the Lord. Amen. We don't need the cart how to worship God. I'm sorry, this church will not have a mirror ball and smoke machines. It won't happen here. Sorry. It won't happen. But what will happen is this. We will seek him with all our heart. We will love him with everything within us. And we will worship him for who he is. And he will come. Amen. Let's stand this morning. To the back. Let's stand this morning. Clean hands, pure heart. Clean hands, pure heart. It's so easy in your personal life to make your own cart. It's so easy to build your own cart. It's so easy to get familiar with God. It really is. And forget that He is a holy God, that He is a righteous God, and a loving God. But He will not change to suit you. Amen. Clean hands, pure heart. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. This is where I felt the Lord say to me, can you feel the weight of His presence on your life? Can you feel the weight of His presence on your life? If you struggle with that, the next question you've got to ask yourself, have I built a cart? Have I built my own cart? In my house, in my family, have I built my own cart? I can't do this for you. You've got to break your own cart. But what you've got to say is things like this, Lord, help me to walk and wash my hands in repentance, in forgiveness, and in grace and in mercy. Help me. Help me to come before You with clean hands. Help me. Help me not to come before You with tainted hands. Help me not to touch the holy things that You count holy, Your people. Help me. Help me to bear the burden of the glory of the Lord. Help me to carry that anointing that You want to place upon my shoulders. Help me to carry the anointing of Your power and Your presence on my shoulders. Hallelujah. That's you this morning. You just raise your hands before the Lord. Lord, I need a fresh. I need a fresh. I need a fresh this morning. I need a fresh. I need a refreshing in my spirit. I need a refreshing in my spirit. I need to be refreshed, Jesus. Father, You see our hands raised this morning. Father, forgive us for building our own carts in life. Forgive us for having expectation for You to do and placing it on You to do. Forgive us. Father, here I am. Warts and all, here I am. And I know Your hand is not short to receive me. I know Your love overpowers me. Your grace is for me. Help me this morning to be that priest that will carry the weight of Your glory in this hour like never before. Carry the weight of Your presence like never before. Help me. I choose You this day. And like Joshua said, Father, I choose You because yet for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Not a system, not a church, not stuff. I want to serve You by serving others in Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement with that this morning, you shout your amen to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to His name. Amen. Glory to Jesus. We love You, Father. We magnify the King of Heaven. We glorify You and You alone. Lord, in this hour, You're looking for a people. Hallelujah. Dear God, prepare us for the day. Hallelujah. Let there be such a shout in our hearts of the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. I remind you this morning, The devil will want you to build a cart. Put God in his box. Let him be God in your life, however that looks. And whom the Lord sets free, hallelujah, is truly free indeed. It's not a hyped shout. It's not a yoo-ha feeling. It's not a shiver down your spine. When he does it, it's done. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Come on, give him a shout. Do you love him? Yeah! Woo! He's a good God. He's a good God. I love him to bits. If anything you take home this morning, take this. Love him with everything you've got. Someone once said to me, where's heaven? I said, wherever he is. It could be in a pit. If he's there, it's heaven. That's the truth. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, a successful week, a great week in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.